Identity. All right, we're going to continue our series on identity. We're knowing who we are in Christ. It's been just a joy to see so many people who are learning to walk in their God-given purpose and identity as we're discovering who we are. Let's jump right into our text today because I want to get there. Today we're going to talk about I am royalty. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm royalty. Come on, turn to your other neighbor and say, I want to be royal. Come on, sing it to him. I want to be royal. Come on, you want to be royalty? You can be my queen bee, but we won't go there. All right. Romans 8, 15 through 17. I love what Paul is teaching us here. After now we have received Christ, look what he said happens here. Something changes. Remember we've been talking about it. When we receive Christ, something changes. So you have not now received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's spirit when he what? Adopted you as his own children. We have been adopted. Now we call him Abba Father. That's the same terminology used as Daddy God. Papa, you know, it's our earthly term that we use for our father. He says, not only are we adopted as children, now we call him that same thing, Father God. It's an intimate thing. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. We are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. Now turn to your neighbor and say, I'm an heir. We are an heir to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are king's kids. You have been given the kingdom of God. We have been called the children of God. We have been adopted into the family of God, which means I am an heir of the king. We are royalty today. And this is the promise. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share in his suffering. And that's why last week we talked about we go through hard seasons in life. It's okay because I'm not blessed. I'm not blessed because of the season I'm going through. I was blessed before I went in that season. I'll be blessed when I get through that season. My blessing is not determined by my season. My blessing is determined by my position in the kingdom. That I am adopted. He has adopted us as his own children. We are God's children. We are heirs of the king. Now, keeping that in mind, let's go to the Old Testament story today. In Esther, the book of Esther, we see the story how Esther here, now remember, Esther was orphaned. Her parents died, and she was adopted by her cousin. And let's pick it up now here. She's been adopted by her cousin. She's been prepared to go to the king's court. Let's pick it up in verse 15. When the turn came for Esther, the young woman of Mordecai had adopted, the daughter of his uncle, to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the harem, suggested. And when Esther, what? And when Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. So Esther goes into the kingdom. She gets into the palace. And when she enters the palace, she wins the favor of everyone who saw her. She was taken to King Erexus in the royal residence in the 10th month and the month of Tebeth, the 7th year of his reign. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than any other of the women. She won his favor. So she's winning the favor of the people in the palace. Now she's winning the favor of the king. And his approval more than any of the other virgins. She set forth a royal crown. He set forth a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So listen, we see something happening here. That she is now being made the queen of Persia. Now she goes from being orphaned to the queen of Persia. And something happens here. We see the favor of God upon her life. She walked into the palace. She's got favor. She walks into the king's court. She gets favor. And let me just make a little side note here to this, that, listen, the world's way is to pursue and get. This is the world's way of doing. You see something, you pursue it, you get it. But that's not God's way. That's not God's way. See, the world's way, you see what you want, you pursue it, and you get it. You want the king, you pursue the king, you get the king. But the God's way is so different. The king's way is to become and attract. You become who God's called you to be, and then you attract the kingdom. You attract the favor. You attract the favor when you become what God's called you to be. See, look at this. You can chase your king. You can chase your king, or you can become and attract your king. That should get into some single people's hearts this morning right now. I'm not speaking to the ladies. I'm also speaking to the guys of the house today. You can pursue what you want, or you can become and let you become an attraction to what you want. You see, the more I pursue the heart of God and become the man of God that he wants me to be, the more I'll attract my queen. The more I become the queen that God's called me to be and become the woman of God God's called me to be, the more you'll attract your king. That's the way it works. You see, the world teaches us just the opposite. We pursue what we want until we get them. Come on, ladies, put your claws out. You get what you want, but that's not God's way. God's kingdom is about becoming, and then you attract what you want. See, the king saw in Esther someone he could build the kingdom with. See, there was something different about her. He saw in her spirit, he saw in her heart, not only in her beauty, but he saw something deep inside of her that he could build the kingdom with. Though she needs the crown. I can build the kingdom with this lady. You see, the world's way is this. The peasants just see somebody they can lay with. But the king looking for somebody he can build with. Come on right now, that'll preach right now. Some of you have been settling for peasants way too long. You need to attract the king that God's called you to attract. All right now. Someone said, "Ooh, I didn't know he was going to talk about that this morning. I'm getting a little warm in here." Kids church has been dismissed this morning. We in here as adults, okay? We can handle this. We become what we attract. And God is calling us to become the person that he's wanting us to attract. We become, and then we gain the favor. You can't accomplish your purpose if you don't understand your identity. You can't accomplish your purpose if you can't understand your identity. Esther went from as an orphan to the queen of Persia. She had favor with everyone in the kingdom, in the palace, and then she had favor with the king, especially the king. There was something about her life that she walked in favor. But what we see happening here is something that we see a kingdom principle. The New Testament uses the word grace. In the New Testament, we use the word grace, but in the Old Testament, you find the word favor used. In the New Testament, you find the word grace, but in the Old Testament, you find the word favor. See, because grace is unearned favor. Grace is favor unearned, favor we don't deserve. That's grace. We've been given grace. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it, but it's favor given to us from the Lord. And we see this word favor falling around people, especially in the Old Testament. The favor of the Lord was upon people. Esther didn't have favor with people outside the kingdom. Did you notice that? It didn't say Esther had favor with everybody as she was growing up. She had favor with everybody, every place she worked. It didn't say she had favor until she walked into the kingdom, until she walked into the palace. And in the palace, she had favor with everyone. And especially she got favor with the king. Some of you need to get this today because there's something that happens in our heart because some of you are wondering why I don't have favor with this person. God, why am I here? I don't have favor with him. Look at this statement. God doesn't give you favor. God doesn't give you favor with people you don't need it with. God doesn't give you favor with people you don't need it with. So if you don't have favor with somebody, if you don't have favor with your particular boss, you don't have favor with somebody you're trying to get favor from, don't sweat it. You don't need their favor or God will give it to you, okay? As a child of God, as an heir to the kingdom, that I know that when I become who God's calling me to be, that God will allow me to walk in favor. And if I'm not walking in the favor of certain people, that's okay. That's okay. I'm not supposed to walk in their favor in this season. There's a reason for that, and God's got a reason. Don't be distracted with people outside of the kingdom. Don't be distracted with people outside the palace. It's all right if you don't have favor of everybody around you. If you don't have favor with them, I don't need their favor during this season. There's something else that God's got going on. Let me give you an example of this. When I was working in college, I was working for a particular company, and I didn't get along with the management there, the management, assistant managers, other workers. They were all friends and had worked together, and I just didn't get along. I was changing my lifestyle. I was giving my heart to the Christ. I was pursuing him. And, man, I was abandoning the person I used to be, and now I'm going after the things of God, and I just didn't click with them, you know? I just didn't click into their party atmosphere, and I didn't go hang out with them all the time. And so things were happening because of that, I was on the outside looking in. And, man, I would get discouraged and think, man, you know, I know, you know, these guys are being hired for supervisors and assistant managers' jobs and managers, and, you know, I could do my job better than most of these guys here. And, you know, I was getting upset almost to the point where I was ready to quit and quit that job, and I was going to go somewhere else. As a matter of fact, I'd already started looking at other places, and I got a call at 7:30 in the morning from the owner of the company one time. He said, "Gene, I'm in town." He owned several stores, and he didn't live here. So the fact that he called me at 7:30, which he's never called me in my life, to call me at home at 7:30 to say, "Meet me at the store," I knew this wasn't going to be good, okay? And so I show up at the store at 7:30, and he goes, "I decided I'm going to come in. I'm going to fire everybody in the company. I'm firing everybody in this local location. I'm getting rid of the whole thing. And the only person I'm going to keep is you." He goes, "I've been talking to people. And I've talked to all the other area managers, and your name is the only one that people talk about with favor." He goes, "You're the only one that everyone's talked about. When the other managers of the store, they said, you're the only one that ever gets things done. You're the only one that ever follows through what you're supposed to do." He goes, "Your name keeps coming to fore. So I'm bringing a manager in from the outside." He goes, "I've hired a manager from another company. Come in, take over. I'm going to elevate you to assistant manager." Now, remember, I'm in full-time going to college. You know, I'm not supposed to have this kind of favor. I'm just a college student working. But everybody else gets fired, I get elevated. Why? Because of the favor of the Lord. You see, it was the reason why I didn't have favor with that particular inner circle. Because if I had been in that inner circle, I'd have been fired with the rest of them. But God gave me favor. God gave me favor, and it wasn't long after that I was elevated to manager of the whole store. And why? Because the favor of the Lord was there in my season. It's what I needed, and I didn't get favor until I needed it for that season. It wasn't my season to get favor ahead of time. If I'd have gotten the favor I thought I wanted, I'd have been fired from that job looking for another job, and I probably wouldn't have ended up where I'm at today. I probably would have moved across the country, did something different with my life. But God had a plan, and he gave me favor when I needed the favor. He gave me elevation when I needed elevation, and he closed the door when I didn't need it. You see, the favor of the Lord is upon us, and just because you don't have the favor now doesn't mean that God's not up to something. See, when you're royal, you have favor. 1 Peter 2:9. Look what it says about you and I. But we are what? A chosen people, a royal, well, there it is, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possessions, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We are a royalty. We are a royal priesthood. Everybody hold your hand up like this and do this. Come on, give the royal wave. There you go. You're royalty today. You're royalty today. God has given you the royalty. You are an heir to the king. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. We are been adopted by the king himself. And when you're royalty, you don't always enter the palace the same way as everybody else. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. The Queen of England, she doesn't enter the palace through the front door like everybody else. The prince and the queens, they don't enter the palace like everybody else. They got a back entrance. They got a private entrance. It's more secure away from the public where they can get in and out. They don't go through the front door like everybody else who's coming and going. All the other workers have a different entrance they're using, and they're coming and going. But royalty, they have a different entrance into the palace. You see, some of us here, you're going to have to get excited today because you understand where I'm going. Don't be upset when you see everybody else going through a door to the palace. Don't be upset when you see everybody else walking through the door you thought you should be walking through. Don't be upset when you see everybody else walking through the front door of the palace thinking, man, why am I walking in there? Why am I being elevated? Why can't I go in there? Don't be upset when you're walking through one way. Maybe God's trying to elevate you through a different way. Maybe God wants to bring you through the back door for a reason so he can elevate you in a due season. So when we see this principle all through Scripture, I mean, think about Joseph. God gave him a dream that he was going to be in power. He shares the dream. His brothers reject him. They strip him, throw him in the pit, sell him off to be a slave, tell his dad he's been killed. He sold off to slavery, and he enters the palace, all right. He enters the palace as a slave, and he works as a slave in the Potiphar's house, and he's working there, and there he gets elevated to Potiphar's house, only to be lied about, and then thrown in the prison. So here he was having a dream, he was going to be in prison, and boy, in the palace, and boy, he's in the palace, all right? He's just in the prison of the palace. I mean, he comes in as a slave, he gets into there and lives in prison. But how many know in one day he was elevated from the prison back up to second in command over the palace? and he never would have been there if he hadn't came in through the back door. He never would have been there if he hadn't came in through the door of a slave, if he hadn't came in the door of a prison, hadn't came in the door of being thrown in the prison. He never would have been elevated to the place God wanted him to be. I mean, God uses different ways to get to his people where he wants them to be. Don't be upset because you see everybody else coming through one way and you're taking a long, hard way. God has a plan. Don't worry about it. David, think about David's life. David was taking care of the sheep on the backside of the desert. Everybody else is out to fight the Philistines. They're out to war. And here he is. He's been anointed. He knows he's going to be king, but yet he can't even be invited to fight in the war. The only way he gets to go up there is his dad says, "Hey, Dave, take these cheese and crackers up to your brothers. Kind of spy out the land, tell me what's happening, bring back some word," you know. So he goes up there to take cheese and crackers to his brothers in the army. And while he's there, he hears the Goliath roaring and challenging the people of God. And then all of a sudden, nobody else is standing up, and the spirit of boldness comes there. He goes, "I'll fight this guy. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine who defies the army of the living God?" I love the boldness of David, don't you? Come on, when's the last time you told somebody that? "You uncircumcised Philistine, hallelujah." Be careful now, you might get punched in the face if you say to somebody right now. But I love it. But, you know, he comes up there. He's not even supposed to be there. The only way he gets there, because he's sent up carrying cheese and crackers to his brothers. He's not there to fight. He's not there to have an invitation to fight. He's only there to carry the cheese and crackers. Because his dad sent him up there, go up there and spy out, take his cheese and crackers to him. And then what happens to the guy? What happens to the guy who defeats Goliath? Oh, by the way, he's going to be given the hand of the king's daughter. He's going to be living in the palace if he wins. I mean, his door to the palace was not the door that everybody else thought. I mean, we see this happening here. God opens a different door. Think about it here today. Esther, she was a Jew. She's not even invited to be in the palace the right way because she's not even supposed to be there. She's not even supposed to be there, number one, because she's a Jew. Jews were not allowed in the palace. And so she was not even supposed to be there. And she finds herself going in through the harem. I mean, what a great testimony, right? Hallelujah. I'm invited to be part of the king's harem. I think I'll go down here. I mean, maybe it wouldn't be the ideal way to make it into the palace. But she walks in through a door that God opens, and God gives her favor right away. Don't be upset when you walk through a door. It doesn't look like it's a door, okay? Don't be upset when you walk into the palace door and you're like, "Man, this is not the way I thought I was going to come into the door." Don't be upset when I thought my life was going to open up differently. I thought my plans were going to be different than this. And God, you're bringing me in a whole different way than everybody else. That's okay, because God is up to something. Because you are a favorite of the Lord. You're an heir of the king. You are royalty. And he's doing something. God had to constantly convince people who they were in Christ before he could get them to fulfill their destiny. I mean, think about it. Jeremiah, "You're going to be a prophet to the nations." "God, I can't speak. I can't. I'm too shy to speak publicly. I'm too young to speak." No, Jeremiah, "You're a prophet to the nations." Gideon, "You mighty man of valor. You great warrior, you." While he's hiding in the cave. God calls him out who he is. God tells him who he is. God convinces him who he is long before he ever walks and begins to walk in his fulfillment of his destiny. See, God wants us to know that we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a special possession to God. And we are heirs to the king. We are children of the king who have been adopted by the king himself. Know who you are in God. So when you know your identity, you make different kinds of decisions. When you know your royalty, you make different decisions. See, God's truth about you, look at this. God's truth about you elevates you without inflating you. God's truth about you, when you understand who God says you are, it elevates your faith. It elevates you without giving you the big head. If you begin to hear who God says you are, then all of a sudden you're like, "That's right, yeah, I am somebody special." And you start getting the big head spiritually, then you're not catching the spirit behind this, okay? This is not to inflate our ego. This is not to inflate our head, okay? But when you hear God's truth, it elevates you without inflating you. And the opposite is also true. that when you hear God's truth about you, look at this, God's truth humbles you without deflating you. God's truth humbles you without deflating you. The more I understand how big the favor of the Lord is upon me, the more I understand about His grace and mercy in my life, the more it's revealed how much You really love me, God, the more I understand how much You've really done for me, that You have adopted me. You have called me in there. You have called me blessed. You have given me this season of my life. God, I know who I am in Christ. And the more I understand that, the more it humbles me. The more it humbles me without deflating me. It's not, oh, I'm humble and I guess I can't do anything. Well, I'm just humble here. God's keeping me humble. So no, that's not what we're talking about. See, being humble has nothing to do with being shy. Being humble has nothing to do with what I'm talking about here. When God humbles you, He humbles you because you realize just how big He is. And you realize just how great the mercy upon our life, the grace upon our life. And when you understand the favor of the Lord, man, it humbles me when I understand His favor. I mean, think about it. In David's life, he was a man who wrote the Psalms. He wrote the poetry and the Song of the Psalms. And he played the harp for the king, very skillful in his playing of the harp for the king. He was a mighty warrior, and he had all these great things about him. But was he humble? Yes, because he knew his identity. And we see it come alive in 1 Samuel 17:40. Look at this. 1 Samuel 17:40. Now David chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, his sling in his hand. And he drew near the Philistines. And the Philistines came and began to draw near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistines looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, Rudy, everybody say, Rudy. Come on, if you haven't seen that movie, turn in your man card right now, guys. Come on. He was only a youth, Rudy, and good looking. And look at the second part of this. So the Philistine said to David, I am what? I am a dog. Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. So here Goliath begins to mock him. And then he begins to take the Lord's name in vain, using God's name in vain, coming against him. And look what David does. And he said to David, first of all, come to me and I will give your flesh over to the birds of the air, the beasts of the fields. David, that's cool, because I know who God is. And look at David's response to him. Then David said to the Philistine, you come at me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. See, he knew who he was. You come at me mocking God. You come at me with all these great things that you have. But let me tell you, I don't come at you with my great skill. He didn't say, hey, time out, I killed the lion. Time out, I killed the bear, Goliath. Let me tell you about how great I am. He says, hey, on Goliath, let me tell you how great my God is. And let me just put it to you in paraphrasing, because he goes on to talk about it right after this scripture. What he was saying was this: Goliath, prepare to get your spiritual tail kicked across this valley, because my God is bigger than you are. That's what he said. Not because of my power, not because of my skill, but because of the power of the God. Because I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He knew. See, humility doesn't deny what you have. Humility doesn't deny what you have. Humility recognizes who gave it to you. See, David wasn't out there saying, hey, let me give you my resume, Goliath. Let me give you my skill set here. He says, hey, you're going to get your tail whipped, but it's not coming from me. It comes from God. The reason why that's important, because you're going to see favor coming your way. You're going to see doors opening up. You're going to see giants falling in your life. And when that happens, you say, no, wait, Lord, this is your favor. This is all God. This is not me. It humbles me when I see the favor of the Lord upon my life. God, that humbles me. Yeah, you've gifted me with things, and you've given me giftings. God, you've given me talents, and you've given me things, a special place. But God, it all comes from the Lord. It all comes from God. Any favor I have, it comes from the Lord. Any door that opens, it comes from the Lord. It's humility. It drives, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the favor to the
humble.
So that's why. This is how we learn to walk in this thing. I'm humble. When I realize I'm royalty, it humbles me. It doesn't elevate me. When I understand how royal I really am, it brings a humbling to my spirit. It doesn't inflate my head. But it also brings encouragement to me because I know who I am in Christ. I recognize it. See, when you know your royalty, the Lord will humble you. But he keeps to me, well, he keeps me humble because I what? I see the favor of God follow me. See, God is trying to restore confidence today in some people's lives. Let me say it again. I want to declare to you, God is trying to restore confidence back into some people's lives today. You've lost your spiritual confidence. And I'm here to declare over your life today that you have confidence today. And that confidence is being built back up. And the confidence is not in yourself, but your confidence is in the Lord of the hosts. Your confidence is that you have been adopted. Your confidence is in that you are a child of God. Your confidence is this, that Daddy knows what he's doing, and Dad's going to take care of it, and he'll give me favor when I need favor. He'll defeat the enemy when I need to defeat it. He'll sustain me when I need to. He'll close the door when I need to close. I tell you what, you know what? Dad's got this. That's the confidence we have when learning our identity. And so today, God's restoring your confidence, not in yourself, but in him. So how could an orphan girl become the queen of Persia? How could the orphan girl, Esther, go from being orphaned, a Jew, to becoming the queen of Persia? She became what she was. She stepped into her mantle long before anybody else seen her. Let me say again. She stepped into that mantle long before anybody else recognized it. See, she accepted who God had called her to be. She accepted. She walked in it before anybody else ever recognized it. And when she got to the palace, people began to give her favor. And when she got before the king, she got so much favor, he crowned her the queen. You see why? Because God had a plan. God had a plan because Mordecai, her uncle, wouldn't bow to one of the workers, one of the king's guys. And so he set out a plan. He was going to kill all the Jews to punish him. And so he was going to wipe out all the Jews. He was going to trick the king into killing all the Jews to punish him. And when she knew about this, Esther went unsummoned before the king, which would mean if he didn't like it, he could have her put to death because he didn't request her to come before his courts. But she went. She goes, if I die, I die, but I'm going before the king. And as the queen, she walked in there unsummoned and told him about the plan that they were trying to do to kill the kings, kill the Jews. It was exposed. They killed the man who was trying to kill the Jews and save the whole nation. Mordecai was elevated to place the position in the palace. Be careful with the people you treat around you. You never know when they get elevated, God might take you along with them. You just never know that, okay? You never know the person you're putting. God, I trained her. God, I invested in her. God, I saved her life and nobody else wanted her. God, I was there and she's the one getting elevated to the queen. And I'm back over here with no favor. And you just never know. That person might have the door opened up and you become elevated next. You just never know. You just never, ever know. Why? Because God's ways are not our ways. And God may have a plan for you to reach a nation. God may have a plan for you to reach a people group. God may have a plan that he's trying to use in you to elevate you to be a place of influence in your job, in your community, in your family, in your school, in your college, your university, in your workplace. God wants to use you and elevate you. So don't despair when you're not walking in favor right now. You just know who God's called you to be. You walk in it and let him open the door in the right season. And when he needs you to be elevated, he will elevate you. We see this happening. It's the mantle. She walked into the mantle ahead of time. See, don't let your current season or struggle define who you are. Don't let your current season of walking through the dungeon or walking through the pit, your current season of walking and taking care of the sheep on the backside of the desert when everybody else is having fun doing their thing. You're back here taking care of the stinking sheep. Or whatever you might be doing right now, you think, man, I want to be like everybody else. I want to be elevated. I want to be doing this, doing that. It's not my season yet. Don't lose heart. God's got a season for you, okay? And if it's not your season, it's not your season for a reason. He's got a plan. It doesn't need to be your season now. He's going to elevate you in your season for a due season, for a due reason. You got to let this get into your heart. Your faith has got to be elevated today so that you believe what God says about you and stop believing what you believe about yourself. We got to elevate our faith so we can believe what God says about us and begin to take on that mantle. Yes, I am a child of the King. Yes, I have been adopted. Yes, I am blessed. Yes, I am a child of God. Yes, I am an heir to the King. Yes, I am royalty. Yes, 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 this is who I am. And as I hear this from God and I believe it, I can begin to walk in it. Stop walking on in your mind. In my mind, I don't feel like I'm worthy. In my mind, I don't feel like God loves me. In my mind, I don't feel like I have favor. Stop walking there and let your faith be elevated so you can walk who God has called you to be. When you know your royalty, things change. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm royalty. Come on, say, I am royalty. Turn to your other neighbor and say it a lot louder because you guys are very, very quiet. But somebody just found out you were royalty and did the wave already. I saw you. You guys are really good. You've been practicing the mirror before you got here today. Say, I am royalty. We are royalty. We are King's kids. And when you know this, it changes. So let me give you some practical things today. As we close, let me give you three quick things that will change how to walk it out tomorrow. See, when you're royalty, things change. You will live with the royal standards. When you discover your royalty, you live with royal standards. See, when you're royalty, you don't just settle. When you're royalty, you don't settle for anything. I'm royalty. I'm going to settle for God's best, nothing less. I'm not going to settle for anything that's not God's best. And that becomes my way of measuring my life. God, is this your best for me? I'm going to walk through this season right now, but God, you got something better. I know. And God, I'm going to walk through and wait. God, I'm not going to settle for anything less than God's best. Number two, you have royal relationships, man. When you discover your royalty, you expand your relationships with other royalties. You want to be around it. Let me say this to you. Stop living your life and settling, but stop connecting only with people who have similar issues. And start connecting with people who have similar goals. Let me say it again. Stop connecting only with people who have similar issues. And start connecting, elevating yourself, and connecting with people who have similar goals. See, royalty raises your standard. It raises. I don't just hang out with people who have the same struggle I do. There's a time and place for that, and you can encourage each other. But listen, I've got to connect not only with them, I've got to connect myself to people who are going up, people who are elevating themselves, people who have a royal standard just like me, and that's what I'm going to connect to as well, so we can encourage each other, pull each other up, learn from each other, and keep each other accountable. And number three, when you're royalty, you know this, you have royal resources. You have royal resources. And today, that point is the same point almost exactly what we ended with last week, when I am blessed. Remember us talking about the prodigal son and the prodigal son's brother. That when the prodigal son came home, after him living foolishly, and his dad threw him a party, he's out there crying, ain't nobody threw me a party. I didn't get a party. I never left, and I didn't squander my inheritance, and I didn't dishonor the family. No one threw me a party. His dad's like, son, hello, McFly. Son, are you there? Look around you. You've been living in the palace. Everything I have is yours. You see, when you know your royalty, you understand that. God, your resources are mine. It's okay, God. So if I need it, God, you'll get it to me. As long as I walk as a royal kid, you'll get it to me when I need it. If I don't have it, that means I don't need it right now. If the door's closed, that means it doesn't need to be opened right now. When it opens, I'll walk through it. When it's not, I'm content because I'm a royalty. Everything I have belongs to the Lord, and everything he has belongs to me. It changes the way I see my resources. It changes the way I live my life. It changes my standards, changes my relationships. You're not just anybody. I'm not just anybody. We are royalty. Let's stand on your feet this morning. How many today say, Pastor, I want to walk as a king's kid today. I want to walk in royalty. Anybody raise your hand? That's me. This message spoke to me today. Yeah. Yeah. Some of you been looking through the favor the wrong way. I don't have the favor right now. No, it's all right. It's all right. God's ways are not our ways. Favor will come to you when you walk as a royalty. When you walk as a king's kid, favor will come to you when you need it. If you don't have it right now, it's because you don't need it right now. It's not your season for it. He will give it to you. I'm telling you, he will give it to you when you need it. Are you ready today to make it personal? Are you ready to pursue him today? This is what's going to happen today. We're going to close with this simple, powerful song that our God reigns. I'm going to invite you, if you want to come and join me to the front today, to step out of your seat and say, yeah, I'm royalty today. I'm stepping out into a new kingdom. I'm stepping out into a new mindset, Pastor. I'm stepping out into a new spirit. I'm embracing who God says I am. I'm not letting circumstances around me. I'm not letting past failures around me. I'm not letting people around me change that. I'm going to step out of who God's called me to be. Step out of your seat. Join us around the front today. Let's make it personal. Let's make it the prayer of our heart. Let's go after him today. Lift your hands. Let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you. God, that you have made us heirs. Heirs to the kingdom. That we have been called a royal priesthood. A holy nation. Adopted into the kingdom of God. Full rights. Full heirs to the kingdom. Not because we deserve it. Because of grace. Not favor that we've earned, but because of grace. It humbles us, God, but it also creates a boldness, God. So I pray that, Father, there's a new beginning, a new day arising, Lord, in the mind of every believer here today. A new day arising in the heart of every believer here today, God. That, God, we're going to walk with royalty in our veins, Lord, royalty in our spirit, knowing that, God, you have got this. And sometimes it may seem like we're walking through the pit. It may seem like we're entering through the back door. But God, it doesn't make a difference how we got there. It only makes a difference when you decide to give us favor, that God, the whole kingdom is going to give us favor. And God, I thank you, Lord, that we're people called of God, blessed of God, children of God, highly favored, walking as royal priesthood today. May this elevate us. May this change us. May we walk and grip this identity in our lives today, God. Forever changed, forever changed. I've been forever changed. God, may today be a day of new beginnings. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Put your hands together. Give them a shout unto the Lord today. Listen, guys, I love you. I love you very, very much. Thank you so much for being here today. Walk out of here knowing you're a king's kid today, an heir to the kingdom of God. God bless you. Listen, lots of Connect groups happening this week. If you don't have a list, make sure you stop by and get them so you can find out what times and places, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, Saturdays, different times of the week. Make sure you find out what's going on, all right? God bless you.